Welcome to Professor Bob and Professor Sherry's Vacation 2025 to Paris, Aachen, and London. Well, we're finished with Paris. Let's head on to Aachen. You go, Aachen? What's that? What do you mean, what's that? That's Charlemagne's capital. Although I always refer to it by the French term, Aix-la-Chapelle. But everything else is Aachen. And it was really a hunting area for his father, Pepin, who brought him with him to that area. And Pepin put a little church on the spot. And when Charlemagne took over, he spent so much time attacking the Saxons that this is where he would winter quarter most of the time. So he was here quite a bit. So it's kind of a family approach here because I'm descendant from the relatives of Charlemagne. Of course, anyone who has relatives that were born in Western Europe is also related to Charlemagne, but it makes a nice little event to go and visit, and it is absolutely stunning to see. So we left Paris, we left Gare du Nord, we took the Eurostar to Aachen. If they have a direct line, it goes to Cologne, and this is on the way. And we were there for 2 nights. We stayed in a hotel called the Motel One. Now, this is a company that has started up trying to put a nice hotel in a historic district at a reasonable price. And I think we paid 301 euros for 2 nights, which was really a good price. The map made it look like the church was just around the corner. And surprise, it was just around the corner. Literally. We arrived at the train station, a very small little train station, took a cab, and checked in, and then we went looking. Now, the day we came in, we're just going to look over the area. And then Saturday is we will do our big event. So we go out of the hotel, we take a left, go about half a block, turn left again, bam, there's the church. And of course, this is in December, so it's the Christmas season, so they have the Christmas fairs. Now, across from where we were turning to go up to the church is the information center, the tourist information center. They have all kinds of neat things. But to me, the best thing of all was they had cardboard Holy Roman Emperor crowns, like a crown you'd get at Burger King. You could just attach them and then put them on your head. Well, I had to have one of those. And I put a picture up on Facebook on that because Sherry bought me a replica of Charlemagne's sword for Christmas. So we then walk up. There's all the booths. And, of course, the Christmas fairs in Germany are lots of food, lots of drink, and lots of Christmas items for sale. Food items for sale. Clothing items for sale. Ornaments. You name it. It's there. And there were some small rides for children, but no big Ferris wheels or anything like that you'd see in Paris or in London. So we walked in, we started took pictures of the exterior. Now the church there at Aachen is bits and pieces put together. The front of the church and the main church building, the octagonal part that Charlemagne used where he was crowned and other things, and almost all the German kings were crowned there as well. There's an addition that was added in the 1400s and beyond. There were other chapels that were added on. So there, it looks bigger than it is, but when you go into the church, it's pretty tiny. So we walked around. We went up to the city hall, town hall, which the building, that was part of Charlemagne's little palace area. And by the way, at the time of Charlemagne, there was no fortifications around Aachen. Nobody was stupid enough to attack it while they were there. And you get a nice view of all the Christmas fair stuff and a good shot of the church. We then walked around and saw the entrances. We saw the entrance to where the treasury is, where all the relics are kept and other historical items associated with the church. And we saw the entrance to the church itself. And you go down to the, we went down to the front because I wanted to get pictures of the bronze doors. Now the story of the bronze doors was this, is when they added on the church later on, they ran out of money, and the devil decided that he would help the city out and provide them with the money. In return, when the building was finished and they opened the bronze doors, he would get the first soul that walked through. So they built the whole thing, everything worked. It's time to open it up. He opens the door. Well, the citizens had captured a wolf, had it caged, brought it, opened the cage, and the wolf is the first thing to run through, which really made the devil mad. He slammed the door and cracked it and supposedly crushed his thumb in the door. And the legend is that you can touch the devil's thumb by putting it your finger in the hole on the side of the door. Well, what you're actually touching is the little spot where you would have put the ring that you would pull open the door. And those have been missing for a long time. Door is cracked. And if you go on the inside, there's a beautiful wolf sitting there in bronze, although that actually predates the church and is probably Roman at the latest. So we saw everything. We saw this is what we need to do. We found a really nice restaurant right nearby, a classic old German restaurant. They served the best German food. I had sauerbraten that night. The next night I had the Wiener Schnitzel. We got to know the people who worked there and the gentleman who owned it, so we had a really nice time. So we go back to our hotel. We get up in the morning. The church opens at 10. That's when they allow, on Saturday, when they have tours. The first tours of the day are in German, so we weren't planning on taking a German tour. The English tour is at 2 in the afternoon, and I thought those would be smaller in size, but they were like 30 or more. It really filled the church up. And the reason you want to take the tour is because it's the only way you can get up close and personal to Charlemagne's throne, which is on the second floor. We didn't do that. It was just too crowded. But we got good pictures. It wasn't a problem. They had good photographs on postcards and what have you. So we went in, and instead of going to the church, we opted to go into the treasury first. Treasury is 7 euros. That includes a fee for you to allow you to take pictures with whatever camera you want. And the first thing you walk into, the first area, is the stuff with Charlemagne. The huge reliquary that has a piece of his skull. The gigantic hand and arm with a piece of his arm bone. There is they have his calling horn out of ivory. They have one of his hunting knives in its case. A little crucifix. A variety of other reliquaries with other things in them. But to me, the ultimate item was the talisman of Charlemagne. This is a charm that was given. It's a charm. It's gigantic. It's probably about 4 inches high and 2.5 inches wide. A beautiful gold case on a chain. And this was given to him by the Byzantine emperor. And it was blessed by the patriarch. And it has a piece of wood in it, which is supposed to be a piece of the true cross. And if there is a real piece of the true cross, it's that one. And they gave it to him to protect him. They said, you fight so much for God, you need to be protected. And he was never wounded in all of his fighting, if he wore it when he was there. And then you go through the rest of it, and it has other relics on display. They have various types of art. It's really stunning. It's great. And after that, we went to the church. Go through the door, and the church is if you've been to Ravenna at San Vitale, it's a much bigger church, but it's octagonal as well. But this is much smaller. And you walk in, and the beautiful flooring, marble. They've got some old columns in there. On the lower floor, you have a small altar with a beautiful gold front, and then you look at way back into this addition that was added on, which has the tomb of Charlemagne, his sepulchre, his sarcophagus, if you will. They have a reliquary which is supposed to hold a piece of the cord that was used to whip Christ, some clothing from his birth, and his loincloth at the crucifixion. And it's always questionable as to authenticity, but not a lot of people claim to have that. They have a couple of items with John the Baptist as well, but they're at a church dedicated to John the Baptist. But you can't get close to those. They have a pulpit that was donated by Henry II. The beautiful chandelier in the center of the church was provided by Frederick Barbarossa. And there's all sorts of other things. So it is it's wonderful to see. It's tiny. I don't think that octagonal area will hold more than 800 people. If that, then they would be squeezed in. Now, that night, they had a Bach concert, and we were able to go to it. Even though we didn't have tickets, we were able to buy them at the door and sat there and listened to a quintet and a quartet string group play, and it was just otherworldly. So it's an excellent opportunity to go and see. It's magnificent. And of course, if you want to go on up and see the throne, it's very simple. It's built on the way that the Solomon's throne was supposed to be done, on different sets of stone. It's ivory. It looks pretty miserable, but they would have had other stuff on it. It was not supposed to be super special and overshadow the Lord there in the church. At Ravenna, the throne for the emperor, if he comes to visit, is actually inset in the side of the wall off one side of the altar. So that's what we ended up doing. It was well worth the visit. By the way, it's free to go into the church. So other than eating and drinking and paying your hotel bill, visiting the shrine and the church was €7. So the next morning we got up, got back on the train. We did not get on the Eurostar. We got on a fast German train, which was excellent. They took us to Brussels, and there we made our connection with the Eurostar to take us to London, St. Pancras. So that's where we're heading next, London.